The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 19, which you can find on page 747 in the Pew Bibles. The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy, and the wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. And verse 19. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine upon you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. It's headed, a living stone and a holy people. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honour is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So why strange passages from the Old and New Testament talking about the glory and wonder of God and his people? Why not passages about Mary? That would have been an obvious thing to do, wouldn't it, for St. Mary's Day? But actually, I wanted to just reflect briefly on sainthood generally and what it means to be a saint. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the word saint. Maybe you imagine a halo. Maybe you imagine icons with various saints depicted on them, or stained glass windows with the saints on there. Maybe you picture certain saints that you know about, ones that you've heard of, ones that you know from Scripture, or ones that you know from history. Well, whatever you picture, I wonder how you would feel about being a saint. Well, if you want to be a saint, certainly within the Catholic tradition, as I was researching this week, this is what you need to do. You need, thankfully, to not be perfect. Now, a lot of the saints in history, whilst they had wonderful things about them, none of them were perfect. In fact, actually, many of them had very questionable parts about their lives that we tend not to mention too much. But we don't have to be perfect, so that's a relief. But you do need to be, you need to have seen or witnessed or been part of at least two miracles that happened as a result of your fervent intercession. Okay, so you need to have been involved or seen two miracles. Thirdly, there needs to be something about your way of life that is markedly different from those around you, otherwise known as holiness. And fourthly, you have to have been dead 5 years. Not much chance for us. I mean, an exception was made for Mother Teresa. It was 3 years. But generally, that's one of the rules, is you have to have been dead 5 years. But what if I was to tell you that you could be a saint right now? How would you feel about the thought of the honour, the privilege of being a saint? I mean, we all love to be appreciated, don't we? We all like to be recognised for the things that we do. What would it be like to be a saint? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, in the New Testament and in the time of the New Testament church, there are a number of expressions given to those who believed in Jesus. Long before the term Christian was coined, there were many other phrases used. Obviously, a number of them were people who were from the Jewish faith who came to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. You had them referred to as the followers of the way. They were called disciples, apostles, the ecclesia, as in those who were gathered together, or the church, what later became known as the church. But there was something about them that was different. There was something about the way that they lived, the way that they loved, the way that they did community that was attractive. And like the prophecy in Isaiah spoke of, they became a group of people who people were drawn to. Something about them was markedly different. Something about them attracted people to their way of life. In the time of the New Testament church, many, many people were attracted to the church, to this ecclesia group of people, long before they were attracted to Jesus. But many of them would very quickly become attracted to Jesus as they discovered that this way of life was because of their profession of faith that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was alive because he rose from the dead. And so they realized that this way of life was different because of Jesus. Now, when the Apostle Paul writes to and about these people in a number of different settings, as the churches that he writes to, which makes much of our New Testament, he uses one term more than any other, the saints. He calls these people the saints. So in the New Testament, the word saint, and certainly for Paul, is a word that he just used to describe gatherings of people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and they believe in his life, love, and resurrection. So you can be a saint today. Your life can be markedly different from those around you. You can witness miracles as a result of your fervent prayers. But what of death? What of being dead 5 years? Well, not 5 years, but a death is still required. We have to die to our old self, our selfishness, our pride, our greed, our desires to do it our own way. But it's in doing this that we find resurrection. It's in doing this that we find the true life for which we were made and called for. It's in doing this we discover that Jesus didn't come just to make bad people better or make sinners more saintly. He came to make dead people alive. When we allow our old decaying self to die, nothing we lose will ever compare to the life we receive because of Jesus and all that he's done for us today. That eternal promise that we heard in Isaiah and in the words of the New Testament reading as well, is a promise that doesn't just wait for you when you die and for eternity, but it can begin today as we discover life with Jesus, life in his death and resurrection. And so in the eyes of the God who made you, you can be a saint today. by trusting and believing in the life and person of Jesus Christ. Either everything Jesus said and did was true and it changes everything, or it's not and it changes nothing. It can be nothing in between. And so if we choose to accept that it's all true and our lives are so changed by that truth, we can become saints in the eyes of the God who made us. So may you know him and love him as he knows and loves you as his saints. Amen.